have our concerns with this football team. And one of the concerns we continue to talk about is, feels like we've been talking about this for 5 years, getting into the end zone, scoring touchdowns. And it's something we haven't done. And if you go back over the last 3 weeks, and I'm talking about week one, week two, week three, guys, we are terrible on third downs. And when you are in the red zone and you're terrible on third downs, you're either settling for field goals or you are caving, as we did with those two possessions at the end of the game last night, and you come up with nothing. Mike, 2 of 9 on third downs in the first week against the Steelers, 2 of 9 last week. Guess what we were last night on third down? 2 of 9.
5 of 26 on the season. So it's just been brutal, and that's part of it, man. You're down a distance behind schedule, not helping Kirk Cousins as he's still getting to 100%. Kirk's still not there. You know, the only thing is keeping me from going completely bananas today, Carl, is I didn't expect us to do more than 2-2 in these first four games. Now, we're going to get, obviously, the Saints' best punch coming up this weekend, but I've always felt that 500 to start the season was acceptable because this was a brutal start to the schedule. I'm not conceding any game because, again, the Steelers game was there for the taking if we execute. Certainly, this game was there if we make some plays. You and I are both mad. I know I don't want to steal your thunder about kicking those field goals.
Then don't.
But it's just there's things that just drive you crazy that this team, it's close. So the good news is I see how close we are, but we're still not there. So it's almost like we're a bun in the oven, Carl, and we got to put it back in. We ain't done yet. So another 5 minutes at 350.
Good call. You're absolutely right. Like, do I believe that this team's going to continue to get better as the season goes on? Yes, we do. Do I feel like we will start to be more effective and execute in the red zone? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Now, I am really concerned, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this today. I am really concerned about these injuries to our O linemen. I don't care who you are, guys. You get two starting O linemen that potentially could be out for weeks at a time. Drew Dolman, Caleb McGarry. That is a serious deal because last night Ryan Nuzel and Storm Norton couldn't get it done. All right? As soon as Spag saw that those guys were in there, they were blitzing like crazy. So, Mike, I'm really concerned as we move forward. Hopefully they can step up in the shoes of Dolman and McGarry. But the bigger thing is, guys, as we talk about the opportunities and the chances we had last night, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Fundamentally, I've been saying this since Dan Quinn was here, okay? And I think sometimes our coaches, they get caught up in the analytics too much. Sometimes it's just make the play that needs to be made. Take the play that they're giving you, which is last night, Mike, we were presented with an opportunity with 4 minutes to play to take points. And you cut this lead. All of a sudden, I just want you to imagine, it's a 5-point lead. We take three. It's a 2-point lead. Guess what happened, guys? Our defense got the football back for us. And then I trust Koo, Mike, to go win the game with another field goal. And all of a sudden, you have a 1-point win. I am so frustrated with not taking these points when it's up and when it's in front of you and you feel like the analytics are telling you we have to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, and 4th and 5, I mean, like, I get it. You know, the Patrick Mahomes is sitting there, the big boogeyman, and technically we really didn't stop them. Mahomes just they had a blown coverage or a misread on his throw, and he throws it in the dirt, and we get him off the field. But, and I know I argued this with a couple of listeners today, if we do kick the field goal there, yes, they're likely going to get the ball from the 30 as opposed to the 5, so they were very conservative, and we got the ball back regardless. I'm with Carl. Take the friggin' points. Extend the game, you know, and give yourself a chance. So that was one that really, I guess I get it. Yes, hindsight is truly, you know, 50-50, but still, or 20-20, 50-50 for us is the proposition when it comes to, like, you know, winning these kind of like one possession games. It's just frustrating because there were things that you could have done that were there. The no call, everybody in the country is talking about it. I saw this morning NFL Network, they did like 5 minutes on it. Everybody, it is what it is. You get better, you win more games, you get more calls, or the NFL has a problem with inconsistency and incompetent refs, which I think is part of the problem. But Goodell will tell you it's the best officials and never going to change it. But you saw guys getting mugged, and you saw a lot less egregious stuff that was called. And Kyle Pitts, the guy's got his arms around him. The ref is standing right there next to the up. I mean, you're looking right at it. Blew my mind they didn't call that. You would, to Randy's point. It helps you if the throw is higher. And then it becomes more dramatic, more obvious, I guess, for these nitwits in the stripes.
It's a call that, again, thank God it wasn't a playoff game. Hi, Saints. It was not something to determine the division or even a Super Bowl. But it was a terrible no call. And for us, I think Falcon fans feel disrespected because, again, why don't we get those calls? You know, and everybody and their mom told me, you know, the week before the Bengals PI was evident. Well, why wasn't this one? Why wasn't this one clear?
They won a game on this, a game hinged on that call. It was fourth down, and they get it. We're in the freaking end zone, and as we said, even if the throw, the ball is, you've basically impeded Kyle Pitts' ability to make that catch. It's simple. It's the definition of the rule. But we don't get the call. And the rest of the country's saying the Falcons got screwed.
And we did. So here's the most puzzling part about this, Mike. So after the game, the pool reporter, which was D. Orlando Ledbetter, he writes for the AJC. You guys know D. Led comes on the show all the time. Everybody doesn't get to talk to the officials, okay? So there are just a few guys that really get to go in, and then this is relayed to everybody else. So the question was, could you explain to us why nothing was called on the play in which Kyle Pitts and Brian Cook, that was the guy that tangled up with him, in the end zone, the ball was in the air. It's Atlanta, 3rd and 5 from the Kansas City 6 with 4:12 remaining in the fourth quarter. The answer, this is the official, that's a real-time call that officials have to make a judgment on. From that angle, okay, they had that they had at the time, they felt like there was no foul committed. This is what the officials are saying. So that's not puzzling to me. Here's what's puzzling, guys. Mike, how is this play not reviewable? And right. That is the other part of this. So then they follow up in the pool reporting last night, and they ask the officials, they say, well, is this reviewable? Because it looks like Cook, the defender, is pretty much tackling Kyle Pitts. And the answer is no. Pass interference is not reviewable by replay. In that situation?
Well, no, it's not on the books anymore. They gave it to us after the Rams-Saints playoff debacle, which the Saints got screwed on that one, on the no call on the PI. They threw football fans a bone. Rich McKay and his buddies on the competition committee, they gave you instant replay review on pass interference for one season.
It's not enough.
And they took it back, and it made no sense because, guys, we all know it's not college where it's 15. It's a spot foul, and it's huge, and it changes football games. It changed the outcome of the Bengals game last week for the Chiefs. But now the NFL, they screwed it up. They throw it out there like a Band-Aid. They rip it off, and now we can't review it. So there was one that, yes, we would have had the ball on the one-yard line if you go back to 3-4 years ago.
And that play needs to be reviewable. And I'm not being a prisoner of the moment. I don't care what team you're talking about.
They gave it to us. They took it away.
But this is what the competition committee does. They experiment like with this damn kickoff, and then next year it'll be back to the old kickoffs because, well, it didn't work or we didn't give enough action. Bottom line is do what's best for the league and do what's best for these teams. That is silly that play last night is not reviewable. But if you're wondering, that is why. I got a lot of that last night. How can they not look at that in the booth? To Mike's point, it's not on the books.
Now, as far as the offensive line, I get where you're coming from because Dahlman, and one thing is interesting, you know, when Ryan comes in, he's left-handed. So that's a completely different – I know it sounds – you're figuring the ball's supposed to come up right behind your package right there for the quarterback, but it's a completely different vibe. You got to practice that. So that's – you know, literally Murphy's Law. We got a right-handed and a left-handed center. Well, the backup's lefty. I saw Norton do a nice job last year backing up for McGarry. I didn't see an appreciable difference, but you said it. They just got all after it. And then the play which ends the game, basically, where you see the tackle when they go right with Bijan. This Bolton guy just springs. And the tight ends, they have a mismatch. The tight ends lose sight of Bolton. They got an extra body blocking the edge, and nobody sees him. And he just completely blows that play up.
I didn't like the play. We hadn't been successful on stretch runs the entire second half, let alone probably going back to the second quarter.